So I've got some questions, and I have it on my phone, but I think I need, because I can't see on my phone. Where's your paper? Yeah, paper would be better for me, being that I'm 61 and I'm not technical. Oh, there's Bjorn. Isn't he cute? God. Oh, that's much better. Okay. So I'm going to be the interviewer, and you are going to be the people I'm interviewing. So the first question is, how do we share families during the holidays in such a way as to honor both sides? Now, what I mean by sharing families is some of you have little kids, and so you haven't had to share your little kids yet, but there's a day coming when they're going to grow up and get married, and you're going to have to share them. And some of you that are married know that you have to learn how to go to his house and how to go to his family as well as your family. And that can be tricky. So I thought we'd ask these girls, who are the voice of experience up here. We have two generations. How do we share families during the holidays in such a way as to honor both sides? And Pastor Sue, I'd actually like to start with you because you just had a wedding and you're experiencing this.
On? Okay. Yes, my daughter just got married the end of July, and her husband's parents are both remarried, so she actually has two sets of in-laws. And this Thanksgiving, they're doing a little bit different. They're going to be actually going out of the area, the two of them, because they haven't had a lot of time together. But just in discussing that, I remember in our early days of marriage, you know, it was just easy for me to default to my family because I had a lot of brothers and sisters, and God had to speak to me about whatever I was wanting to do with my family during the holidays. I had to at least offer that to my husband and make sure that I was willing to go the extra mile, go out of town. His family wasn't as close in proximity as our family. And I had to work at that no matter what I felt like. It's easy. You can just get in a groove with your family. You know the recipes that go with your family and everything that involves, but you've got to honor your spouse's family too, even if he's not that inclined, even if he doesn't really care. You have to be the one to assert that, no, we need to do this, honey. This is your family. And then when you start raising children, they're going to know his side of the family as well as yours, and there's going to be a real honoring that goes on there. Because then when you get in your 50s, And your kids are gone and they've all gotten married, then as you grow older, you've got your side of the family and his side of the family, and your children need to know them as well as they've known yours. And your husband also needs to know that all these years you've honored his family. And when you've got to start making decisions together, as, you know, are you going to provide care? Is maybe his mother going to come live with you? All those kinds of things. You've got to know his family and know what their needs are and love them just like you have your own. And I know, especially as women, it's easy for us to just kind of groove with our own family and not go that extra mile to really cover that.
So. Okay, does anybody on the panel want to address this, or?
Why are you peering at?
I'm not. I'm looking at Michelle.
Yeah, I'll say something because my husband's parents are divorced, so that's two Thanksgiving dinners. And then I have my family, and then we also have Grandma Faye, where we always go to Grandma Faye's every year. So that's a lot of traveling, and I think as long as everybody's flexible and respectful, you know, I try to honor my husband's, you know, mom and his father and stuff. And I remember one year I was pregnant and, you know, you just feel miserable. They live in San Diego. You don't want to drive 2 hours and you're just miserable. So they actually came down. And I think as long as everyone's flexible and respectful, then that's okay. And if you have to say no, you know, they used to do midnight mass. I don't know if anybody else does that. They would do the midnight mass, watch it on TV. You know, we'd stay up till midnight, you know, where we work at Christmas Eve. And that, you know, it's just like, okay, that's too much. So as long as you say, you know, say what the expectations are. And if you can't make it, I'm sorry, we can't do Christmas Eve, but we'll do Christmas morning or however it works. But as long as everyone stays flexible, I think that's where it's okay. And also consider the kids too, hauling them everywhere. I'm just saying from a mom's point of view. That's all.
I think one of the wonderful things I learned about a trick to this is from the Australians, my girlfriends in Australia. I noticed that in Australia, they say no a lot, but they say it with a lovely smile. They say, no. No. I can't. So I just thought maybe just look at your neighbor and smile and say, no, I can't. Yeah, do it one more time to the next neighbor. No, I'm sorry, I can't. See how easy that is? Yeah, there you go. See? Okay, just say no with a smile.
No, I'm so sorry. Yeah, no, don't do that. I can't recall that.
No. Okay, anybody else want to just anything to say?
Okay, so I have a husband that adores his family, but he doesn't really, like, remember to plan things. So I have to jump in and help him out. So if you are the wife and you are married to a man, you should be, first of all. But, yeah, in
Amen.
Jesus' name. You need to help them. We've been married 10 years and I'm still helping him. Okay? Because he just doesn't think about that. It's just not, he will think about it the day of and then get mad at me. Why didn't you do it? Well, okay, you need to do it. Hello, help me out here. So I am learning that that's my place as the wife, is to really encourage that. And then he loves it. He's like, oh, thank you so much for doing this. This is wonderful. I love having my family together. So we're doing, actually, where's my mother? She's over there, my mother-in-law. She's so wonderful. So they're all coming over on Saturday, and we're going to do Thanksgiving then. So find out when is good for the family. Make room, make time. You know, Mom had said something interesting the other night. Who you want to be with is who you make time for. And if you have to push yourself, maybe you don't have such a lovely family to always be with. You know what? Just pray a whole heck of a lot, pray in tongues, and be available and flexible, because I really believe there is blessing in it. And even though there could be heartache, in the long run, you never know down the road if the blessing, you know, what's going to happen. And so you're planting seed now. But remember, as the wife, you kind of do have to think for the guy. They just don't go there. So help them out.
That's good.
Help them out.
That's good. Eleanor, I'm going to address this one to you. Anger, frustration, and disappointment between family members often become very pronounced during the holidays. What is the godly way to deal with it when we gather for celebrations?
Yeah, from personal experience, I may just start by saying, as an immigrant, not having any family here, that is my solution to this whole family issue. Just take your stuff and move for half a world away. Just pack your bags, get on a plane, and fly as far as you can get away. I was saying, if I go any further, I'm going to go closer, you know? That's how far I am. So, but I know from experience also that holidays is a time, if there is any underlying, you know, resentment, anger, unforgiveness and stuff that you cover up through the year, Thanksgiving and Christmas is sure to bring it out. Whether it's something sad, maybe somebody has passed away, somebody got divorced, somebody hurt you, all those things, when holidays come, it suddenly is in your face. And here we are once again telling you, girls, you are it. You truly, you are the solution to this whole situation around your table in the holidays, because it starts in your heart. It starts in my heart as the mom, as the woman in the house, no matter your circumstance. Do not see Christmas and Thanksgiving as a time to solve things. If you just figure that one out, then you're halfway won. Don't think, oh, well, that's a good time, you know, so-and-so's going to be here, and that's when I'm going to, when they just sit there with a mouthful of turkey, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. That is a bad way to go about it. Decide today, that's why we do this, decide today in your heart that you are going to cover. Remember, love covers. Cover. You have the capacity to do that more so than your husband and your children. You are the one. You can do it. You can make things, you know, open it up. Or you can just cover with love. Cover. And we just want to tell you, listen, don't try to solve things this holidays. Pray. Trust God to do a miracle. And all you are called to do is just cover. Cover with love. Cover with the love of Christ. And make it sure in your heart you make a decision that you are going to do whatever it is you can do to make everybody have a pleasant time. And it will happen. God will help you. You've got the Holy Spirit inside of you to help you.
That's good. Does anybody else? So we were looking at anger, frustration, and disappointment. Is that? Jess says just kill them. No, we don't want to.
I'd like to say something. I was praying about it this morning, and I believe God just ministered a word to me. He said, it's an opportunity for you to preach your best message with your actions. I know a lot of us are believing God for relatives to be born again. They don't understand why we don't have alcohol at our holiday tables, things like that. But the thing I love about the holidays is maybe you have planted seed through the year. Maybe you have said things at different times. The fact that you're even having peace and a tone of holiness in your house is going to speak to them volumes. But just reaching out in practical ways and showing your heart of love for them can speak so much louder than you telling everyone to put their forks down. You have a message to preach at the Thanksgiving or the Christmas table. You know, I love it because I know when my brother married somebody, you know, years and years ago that my sisters and I didn't approve of. Anybody been there? You know, and so I was kind of, you know, I had some little attitudes in my early 20s that now, you know, 30 years later, it's sad, but sometimes those things can stick along the way. But yet the last several years, God's allowed me to reach out in practical ways, blessing her with something that she really wanted at Christmas, things like that, that have helped to smooth all that over. And so it's an opportunity to show love in just a very practical way and just decide to bury every hatchet and just, you're going to love what even might be an enemy in your home. You're going to love them to life, and you're going to maybe go a little extra mile, find out what their favorite food is or something, and make that dessert that you know they like. Things like that, that are going to open their hearts to want to receive you.
That's good. I'm going to ask if you could keep your answers to about 2 minutes so we can hear from the panel, because I know you're all preachers up here. So, Michelle, do you have anything you want to add?
Actually, yeah, I heard a really good saying. It said that you don't have to attend every argument you're invited to. And so maybe you've prepared your heart to not do anything mean or nasty, but does that mean someone else hasn't thought of, oh, I'm going to confront them on this or whatever? I remember when Richard and I were first married, his brother, who's now saved but wasn't, was on drugs, he was just not a nice person. And Richard would go to the bathroom, and it felt like at that point, his brother would just want to argue with me about something. And so it came to the point where I said, Rich, you cannot go to the bathroom when I'm at your mom's, okay? Need to hold it. I mean, seriously, that's what it was. But now, 9 years later, he's saved, he's born again, and because we didn't dig at him, God just healed that, and we didn't, you know, it wasn't a huge blowout. I just tried to calm him down and just kind of avoid that situation. God's healed his heart. We're very close. He's going to church, and so anyways, that's a little testimony.
Great example. Anybody else? Jess? Do you have anything, or?
I don't know. I don't really fight. Sometimes I do.
No, it's not about fighting. It's just anger, frustration.
Well, I think for me, like, if you know yourself and you know your negatives about yourself, like, you can go off, you can get crazy, you can be a chola or whatever it is that you do in your family, then you need to walk away. You know, like, be the bigger person, know your weaknesses, and like you said, you're not invited to that party. Well, let's say you weren't planning that party to happen, and all of a sudden it did happen. There was an argument right in front of you. What are you going to do? Your choice at that point, I would say walk away and take a breath and go talk to God real fast. And he talks fast. So you could just be like, okay, Lord, you need to calm me down because I'm irritated. And, you know, and that's just be honest with the Lord. I really believe that when you're honest with God, he is right there waiting to hold your hand and walk you through that moment. So catch yourself. Walk away if you're crazy. If you know that you can say something in love, then say something in love to defuse it. You know, but the Cobras, we don't say the love stuff first.
Okay, well, I'm going to move on because I'm going to try to get communion in if I can, and I'm looking at the clock. So anybody else? Eleanor, do you have anything you want to add to that or share? You do, I can tell.
At this point, I just want to say, if those of you who are lonely and feel you do not have the relatives and there's no family to get along with, don't get into self-pity. Just stand up and you make something happen. You be it. And you make a great time for someone else.
Very good. Very, very good. How do you enjoy holidays without stress? Would anybody like to know the answer to that question? I don't know what your dinners are like, but for me, it's always seemed like getting everything on the table hot is the trick. And I've never yet done it right. You know, I haven't. So I'm a little stressed because I'm not a great cook anyway. So how do you enjoy the holidays without stress?
I have a practical tip, if I may. As you are speaking, I'm thinking, what is a good way to avoid that? I haven't thought about this before. Don't set a certain time that you're going to eat. I've actually done that. If people ask me, when do we eat? I say, somewhere after 2 o'clock, before 5 o'clock or so. You know, if you say 3 o'clock, then it's like, ah. I mean, that could just help you. Just give yourself a bit of space. Don't say 2 o'clock.
That's a good practical tip. How many think that's a good practical tip? Because I have set times and invariably everybody's late and then I'm mad. Yeah. Is anybody else there? Because, you know, everything's dry then. Because, you know, God forbid I have a dry turkey. Right? Good. So set no time. Beautiful. Okay, what else?
I would just say be ready for things not to go right. Like with your food, don't expect it to be perfect and it'll be great. You know? So if something burns, just mix it around a little bit. Nobody will know. Don't be upset. Don't show the flaws. Hide it.
A little bit of butter. Just a stick of butter, actually. A stick of butter, a cup of brown sugar can fix anything.
Okay, so if you burn the gravy, just don't worry about it and put butter and brown sugar in the gravy?
No, just like scrape the good stuff off at least. Don't be freaking out like, oh, I gotta make more. Now I'm more stressed out. The family hates it when the mom in the house is stressed.
That is true.
Because then it stresses us out because then we're trying to fix it.
What about divide up the work? What if the kids make something, the kids do the dishes, you know, do that sort of thing.
That's good.
Ahead of time, not when you're full and angry.
Yeah, that's good. Delegate the things that you don't make very well yourself.
That's good.
My son-in-law used to work at a bakery, and he loves to make homemade rolls. Hey, you make the rolls. He makes the pies. You know, let others make the things that aren't your forte.
That's good.
Awesome. Okay. So, take a deep breath. How many of you are fixing holiday dinners? Okay. How many of you have got a crowd coming? Okay. Then just take a deep breath. You're going to be fine. And if the turkey's burnt, who cares?
Oh, well.
That's my motto now. Okay, here's another question. What are some fun and easy traditions to set in place for families to enjoy during the holidays? When you get together with your families, do you ever just kind of get a little bored? Do you want to maybe hear about some fun things? Like, I know that you're a special person. I know that that song deeply touched your lives. And I know that you're all going to sing that in 2012. I can just feel it. I can just feel it. How it just reached in and pulled at your hearts. But I think sometimes family traditions, and we have such a beautiful blend of cultures right now in this room, and every culture brings a beauty of that culture to the table. So what are some things that you've done that have caused a fun time during the holiday traditions?
I think board games are fun. Yeah, I think those are fun. What we do every year is the day after Thanksgiving, we go get a Christmas tree. So that's a lot of fun for our family. That's tons of fun. So that's one thing we do.
We decorate the day after Christmas. That's always a big thing. And a few years ago, we started doing the Black Friday thing. The day after Thanksgiving. We do the Black Friday thing, get up real early. We target certain stores, you know, and we do that and then come back and decorate the house. But on Thanksgiving itself, we like to go around the table, and I'm sure a lot of you do this, and just everybody takes turns saying one thing that they're thankful for. And it's really cute when you have a 4-year-old grandson doing that, and he says, my cars, I just like my cars, you know, and just to, you know, keep it light, but know that every person around the table is very special and let them have that time to express what they're thankful for. Sometimes relatives that have been so far away from the Lord, just saying what they're thankful for, they'll get teary-eyed, and it's really precious.
So even if you're not hosting, maybe that's something that you can do at your event that you're going to, if you're invited to an event. Maybe that could be something you could ask permission from the host and the hostess to do, and that might start something in your families. Anybody else?
I think we do the thankful thing and cooking. I don't know. The men go play with the kids and we cook. It's fun though.
Yeah.
So
it's
just to be together,
the smells,
I think.
Just to be together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, something that has become very special to us is a puzzle. For our immediate family, even when the kids were little, around Christmas season time, not on a specific day, but we get a puzzle that takes a couple days to build, take a longer time to build, and make some room for it. My dad used to do that when we were in the house. He would take a hard piece of cardboard and put it on the dining room table and throw out a puzzle. So we eat, and he just would lift it up, put it, and put it back. So what that does, you know, your kids or family or people, guests can get up for breakfast. And while they have their coffee, they go sit and they put a piece or two and it just sits there. And later on, you kind of meet around the puzzle and you get into it and it's two or three of you and you build a little bit. And then we have this thing, the person who puts the last piece in gets celebrated. But that also turned when the kids got older, they started hiding one piece. So
it's like that sin nature.
The puzzle is done. Where's the piece? And then it's da-da, you know. So I cannot tell you, seriously, around that simple $3.50 puzzle you get at Big Lots, the funnest times have finding pieces and put it together.
So just games and laughter. And I was up this morning just talking to God about it, and I just wanted to put up on the overhead, I don't know if you have them, I just wanted to give you some verses. So that, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I wanted to just leave you with some verses on having a wonderful family holiday. And just some ideas. And number one, determine before you ever begin the adventure how you want to go. How you want the day to go. Before you go, think about it. Just like you're going to get in your car and you're going to plan your trip. And you're going to find out how to get there. Before you go to the family, before you ever get out of your house, think about it and then pray. Because I think if you determine in your heart to have a good time, you will. John 16, 23 and 24 says, "And in that day, assuredly, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." If you will think about it and then pray before you go. Jesus said, ask me for a great time with your family. Ask me. It's going to start the whole thing differently. Number two, develop a your needs first mentality. When you go or when you serve, decide to treat others the way you would like them to treat you. And here's the verse. We use this every year, but it's a phenomenal verse, Matthew 7:12 in the Message. Here's a simple rule of thumb guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. Add up God's law and prophets, and this is what you get. So if you want to go be the light, how do you want to be treated? Act that way to them. And you know what? You'll have the Holy Spirit on your side. And then no matter what's going on out there, you have the kingdom on the inside with the power of God coming out of you. Number three. Look for ways to encourage, admire, and respect, and then say it. You can love them to life, or you can judge them to death. Look, they're great sinners. So were you. I was so religious when I first got saved. I wouldn't be around alcohol, wouldn't eat a cake with alcohol in it. Jim and I had taken a vow. How stupid. Listen. Jesus drank with the sinners and the publicans. He could go to the famous and he could go to the lowly. Now, I'm not saying go get drunk with your family. Try not to do that, okay? But don't be religious. Love them to life. Don't judge them to death, because that's, darling, not going to get you anywhere, okay? And last one, use your gift. This is what we were talking about. Using your gift. What does that mean? Look, every one of us in here does something well. I mean, maybe you can go to the bathroom fast. I don't know. And so there's not a big line. Maybe you're a dishwasher and you just do dishes better than anybody, or you just love to help. Maybe you're a great cook, or maybe you're great with the grandkids, or with the, you know, you're an auntie or something. Whatever gift God's given you, in your life, this is a time to let it shine. Use it. Use it. Give it away this holiday season. And I have a personal relationship in my family with someone very, very close to me, and it's nobody here. It's not a distant relative, but it's not important. And there's been a lot of challenges in the relationship. And if I don't watch myself, I can harbor resentment. Now, I have a little boat, and I've taught you this before, but my little boat Puff is a sailboat, and we have a dock. And so Puff is docked in the boat, Puff is docked in the dock. And if we go to Catalina and there's no dock, we have to set the anchor down so that we don't drift away off into that ocean. So when you harbor resentment, it's like you are in a harbor. And you have taken your heart, your offenses, your hurts, everything that's happened, and you dock it like I dock my boat, and you sit there. Does that make sense? If you do that, before you know it, it's where you're going to live. And you're going to think about it all the time. And Pastor Dan taught a great message Sunday night. You ought to get the CD on it. He said, what we dwell on, we will dwell in. What we dwell on, we will dwell in. So, my darlings, do you have opportunity to be offended, hurt, disappointed? I mean, you could probably name every fault your mother ever had. And she could probably do the same with you. But what good is that? What good is that? Brothers and sisters could just fight for the rest of their lives. But where does that go? You see, blessed are the peacemakers. For theirs, they shall be called the daughters of God. There's something that has to build a bridge between families. And we are bridge builders. And forgiveness and encouragement and love builds bridges back together. And that's what we've got to do, is build bridges into our families, because you're the light, my darling. You're it. Tag, you're it. So we can either determine right now to have a great holiday season, because this is not about money. It's about the heart. We can have, because you're the gift. You can be a gift this holiday season, or you can be something that nobody wants to unwrap. The choice is ours. And I know that you've been hurt, and I know that there's deep wounds in this place. But that's what the blood is all about, and that's what mercy is all about.